Get your family vehicles ready for summer driving with early Memorial Day deals at Dobbs. Click on GoToDobbs.com for money saver tire and service deals today. Dobbs, with 43 locations, real deals are always close by.
Time now for the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Yes, yes. Ha, 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 ha. Ha. Yes, yes, yes. Jackson, can I have a moment for just me and you?
Please.
I think you are frazzled.
I'm doing my best.
I know you're doing your best. But I think you're frazzled. Frazzled? Is that a word? Am I even saying?
I'd be
frazzled?
Considerably better.
Okay, what's going on?
If I had an adapter for my headphones, which
now
I have.
Rocchio is going to get one for you.
Yeah, it's I left in the TMA studio. And some responsibility on TMA because Plowboy's gone. So kind of scrambling after the show.
See, one show in, one TMA in, celebrating our 20th anniversary in July. Come join us. And I feel like we already need to make an adjustment.
No, that's fine.
I do. I'm just telling you what I see.
It's busy. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I have to change up my routine, but it's nothing I can't handle.
There's handling, and then there is excelling. There's shining bright like the diamond that you normally shine like, and there's handling. And you're being put into a position where you're handling and not shining. Think about that right now.
Can't stop thinking about it. Thank you to Matt Rocchio for going to get that.
Matt Rocchio is a champion, the pride of Christian Brothers College.
Needed that because I can't talk without my headphones.
All right.
I like to hear myself in my headphones. It's just how I've always done it.
This is an illustration of being frazzled, if that's a word.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's not ideal by any circumstances, but it's the cards we were dealt, and so what we're going to do is we're going to play the best hand we can.
What an attitude.
But, you know, I think a part of the frazzling is because it's the first day of me doing this, and so once I get a little bit more used to it, I'll have some strategies put in place so that I will be in better shape to shine bright like a diamond so I'm not over here just handling. I want to do better than handling.
All right.
I want to strive for greatness.
All right.
Just a kid from Akron.
Just a kid from Akron. Jackson Burkett, everyone. Text in, Air Comfort Service text line. The number is 314-399-9646. And the YouTube chat is as active as the day is long. I mean, the people are in there and they are talking it over. They like the St. Gabriel golf t-shirt. Thank you. Or sweater. Sweatshirt. Somebody will check on that. Tiny Pete.
Matt Rocchio is going nuts about it.
Yeah, as he should. He's fist pumping like he's in Arsenio's audience. John Scores is in there. Good weekend, kids. 7th birthday party. John Scores.
Nice.
Updating everybody on the weekend. Congratulations. Happy birthday to the Tykes. You can get involved in the YouTube chat. I think it's kind of the place to be. It's like parties in the park on a Wednesday in May. That's what I think the YouTube chat is, and it's active. And now, with Mike Ryder's new change, it's right over Jackson's head so I can read it as we host the program. And today's Little Piddles weekend wrap-up on the Munganass, St. Louis Acura, Munganass Burkhardt, Alton Toyota Balloon Party.
Well, what? The Cardinals take 2 of 3 in Queens as they now head to an easier part of the schedule with series against the Tigers and the White Sox coming up.
Let's get some wins, Jackson.
Why not? Time to feast. And they got a good start doing it in Queens. Almost had the sweep, but one strike away. Just couldn't get it done. We've talked a lot about how the offensive issues are a problem and how the pitching has outperformed compared to expectations, but how surprising has the bullpen been so far this season? Furthermore, how important are the games this week, not only to put some more wins in the win column, but to also build some confidence at the plate?
Well, Jackson, no team in baseball has scored fewer runs on the Cardinals. No team in the National League, I apologize. And that's 100. But specific to your question on the bullpen has been outstanding. And I don't know why we were on the topic of the 2011 World Series, but I was making the observation that in the 2011 postseason on Friday or Thursday of last week's shows, that Tony La Russa just pulled the plug on the rotation minus Carpenter because he could trust the bullpen and he couldn't trust his rotation. And maybe we are seeing here as we speak on April 29th an indication that that is the direction that Ali Marmol may go. Because even with a number of the key guys not really available yesterday because of their use on Friday and Saturday, Elsley, Kittredge, JoJo Romero, the bullpen was still able to get the job done. Now I realize when it was all said and done, Libertor, you know, got beat with two outs in the 11th inning. Don't get me wrong, that counts. But that was one when you saw Quintana dealing like he was dealing, that you're going, okay, the bullpen's going to have to win it. Lance Lynn was very good as well, but the bullpen's going to have to win it, and the bullpen is stretched thin today. And they almost got it done. God, what a... I mean, because then you're talking about, what, 5 of 6 wins, if I'm not mistaken? That's what it would have been, taking the Diamondbacks, 2 of 3, and then 3 straight against the Mets. And that's all while, with the exception of really one game, not really getting much offense in those 6.
Yeah.
At the same time, when you are at a point that the Cardinals are at this season, past 25 games, I don't know how much of both the bullpen's positive performance can be viewed as an outlier and the offense's negative performance can be viewed as an outlier. In other words, you can't have both. Well, the offense is going to get going. Well, if you're saying that, then you would expect if there's a progression there, then there should be a regression on the bullpen. See what I'm saying?
That's what I fear.
Okay.
So I fear that with starting pitching as well.
Yeah. So along those lines, this week, playing two teams. Now, the Tigers are 3 games over .500. The White Sox have actually not lost since we last talked to you on Friday, which is a miracle.
Yeah, they're hot.
They've won 3 in a row. They went from 3-22 to 6-22. My goodness, I wonder what kind of odds you could have gotten on that.
For real.
The Cardinals get them in St. Louis this weekend. Playing at the exact same time as the Battle Hawks on Saturday, by the way, which we will talk about momentarily. But, yeah, I said going into that 9-game stretch starting with the Mets, you got to be 5-4. Like their chances of that at a minimum, because that's just 3 of 6 wins against... I can't imagine the Tigers are going to be there when it's all said and done. It would really surprise me. And then the White Sox situation. So, yeah, I think at this point going 6-3 is kind of your goal. You win in a series against the Tigers and White Sox is all I'm asking.
Yeah,
and
right.
And you got that. That means 4 wins this week at a minimum. And now you're kind of, well, I'll tell you exactly what you are on Sunday evening. You're 500, brother.
Exactly. Yeah, the first part of their first, like, month, basically, of the season was against either teams who were in the playoffs last year or contenders again this year. Certainly some major names like the Dodgers, Padres, Diamondbacks were in there last year. So there's a tough part of the first schedule. Now you're getting into the part where you're going to get some games where you could possibly feast on. You got to take advantage of that. If you can split the games against the really great teams and be above 500 against the crummy teams, you're going to end up feeling a lot better about the season come September. So you got to take advantage of it and score 4 runs. The Cardinals are 10-2 when they score 4 or more runs.
We're not asking for much there, are we, Jackson?
4 runs. Just get to 4 runs, and the likelihood of you of the Cardinals winning is ridiculously high. That's all you got to do is get 4 runs. I don't know. I got more on the Cardinals and the pitching situation coming up later in the weekend wrap-up. Yeah.
For the record, the Cardinals get the White Sox this weekend after the Tigers and then the Mets at home. So you just saw the Mets operation.
Yeah.
And they've got a situation on their hands as well. It's not like they're necessarily off to a killer start themselves. And then they go on the road to take on the Brewers. And then while you're in Wisconsin, you always head over to Southern California and take on the Angels before heading back to take on the Sox and Orioles and Cubs for what I would tell you is one hell of a homestand.
Yeah.
That's a great homestand there. Yeah. Middle of May, optimal weather.
Love it.
Sox, Orioles, and Cubs.
Love it.
For Memorial Day weekend. I know you always go to the lake. You got a cigarette boat?
Two.
But,
jet skis.
But you might have to stay in St. Louis for this one.
Yeah, the commute's not bad.
Okay, so you'll drive to the lake, go on the cigarette boat, and then come back for the game against the Cubs?
Yeah, but like I got to pick the time when like all the people are going to be on the lake, and I'm going to rip through the channel there. House music, obviously.
Oh, sick.
Crystal, and just let it run.
Tiny Peepee says, I bet the Battle Hawks ratings are much better than the Cardinals. Well, the Cardinals and Battle Hawks were doing battle at approximately the same time yesterday.
Yeah, yep, afternoon games for both.
So I'm anxious to see that data as well. I mean, the Battle Hawks thing just continues to stun me. And now let me tell you something, brother. June 16th, Father's Day afternoon, while people like you will be watching the U.S. Open final round.
Yeah.
The real Americans, the meat and potatoes people, the proletariat, the hard workers. They'll be watching the Battle Hawks with 63,000 of their closest friends take on the undefeated team from Birmingham.
There you go. And they'll be rooting hard. And, yeah, the U.S. Open, who cares about that?
Thank you.
Right.
63,000 plus at the Dome.
I hope so. Battle Hawks. That'd be great. That'd be so cool.
What's it going to be like this weekend? The Battle Hawks are going to be going up against the Cardinals again.
Yeah.
2 o'clock start. Cardinals will be playing against those White Sox, 115.
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about like the product to watch on the field, I have no surprise that people are more interested or more entertained by watching football than they are a baseball game in early May. That doesn't surprise me in the slightest. It does. Like, what surprises me, and surprised me in a good way, is the attendance that they get at the games. I mean, that's just outstanding.
It's insane. Yeah. So this 2 o'clock start is a little different than, you know, the 11:30, I think it was, against Memphis two Saturdays ago.
Yep.
I mean, and the weather, after today, we see a lot of sunshine, Jack.
You better believe it.
And so the weather will be choice. So you're going to have Cardinal baseball, a handful of blocks to the south, open air, beautiful Saturday afternoon. And you're going to have, and I know you've been critical of the Dome and its appearance. I've always thought it's one of the finest facilities in football.
The appearance is one thing. I'm a huge fan of their fountain sodas.
Royal Crown Cola.
Royal Crown, yeah. RC in the building.
What if the Battle Hawks have more people than a Cardinal game on Saturday?
I'd be surprised if they didn't.
Sweet mother of mercy.
Yeah,
that's a huge story. I realize it's not a story outside of here, but if anybody, and I don't blame people. I mean, you got the NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, you know. And now we need to have Major League Baseball's regular season. So if like ESPN were to spend even like a minute and a half on UFL attendance, it would be odd. Yes. I'm talking as far as a national observation. But that is it intrigues the hell out of me.
Yeah, I mean, if they get 40,000,
I'm telling you,
that wouldn't be crazy. And if the Cardinals got 40,000 for a Saturday day game against the pitiful White Sox, I know that they're hot, but let's be honest. I would be surprised if they would draw 40,000.
So you got to make a bet right now.
Yeah.
Who has more people in the building on Saturday at the same time? White Sox, Cardinals, Battle Hawks, Houston Roughnecks.
Yeah, I'll take the Battle Hawks.
Wow!
A bigger stadium, and I'll take. Now, what the Cardinals will report, I'm not saying that they're doing anything. I'm not saying that they're...
So I knew you operated the St. Louis Starter Pack's Instagram account, but do you operate the Best Fans in Baseball Twitter account?
No, I do not. Even though it'd be a nice thing to acquire. I'm not saying anything like nefarious gone, but like they report tickets sold, which is their obligation. They don't necessarily have to tell you how many tickets were scanned. No one in sports does that, but Battle Hawks game, yeah, I could see it being close. You know, if the Battle Hawks get 40,000, I bet the Cardinals get 38, 39, 40, but it'll be close. But I would say the Battle Hawks edge it out.
I am telling you. What do you think? What would you take on that bet? Would you go Cardinals, White Sox, or would you go Battle Hawks? Go ahead. Text in 314-399-9646. Just text in one or the other, Cardinals or Battle Hawks. I'm really curious.
I'll be at the Friday night game.
Cardinals, White Sox.
Yeah. And if given the option, I would take the Cardinal day game personally, but that's just where my priorities are at. I'm not trying to throw my weight around. I could.
I know you absolutely could. Dan Jansen says, stadium size doesn't matter.
Okay.
I mean, the dude writes, people are going to gravitate to what's fun to watch, and right now it ain't the Cardinals. That's from the dude.
I just can't let something like that just kind of fly by. Of course stadium size matters. If you can fit more
Jansen's
people...
back on you, Dan Jansen.
If you can fit more people into the stadium, that means more seats. That means the seats are probably going to be cheaper because heads and beds...
Heads and beds.
Yeah, it's airplane seats. You got to fill them. And so, yeah, the more, if one holds 66,000, the other holds 45,000, they have an advantage.
I mean, every vote so far in the text inbox is Battle Hawks.
I'm telling you, I think they're going to edge it out.
I don't know if other people are, I don't have lots of commutes, don't spend a lot of time in the car, so I'm not listening to shows. This isn't like I only listen to me. I just don't. I'm just not, if I'm podcasting, that's what I do. I'm podcasting, but I'm not letting my time, I got kids in the car. I'm listening to the same song over and over again. Parents, you know what I'm talking about. But to me, the battle, like it'd be one thing if every time you look at a UFL game on television, you have 30 plus thousand, but that's not even remotely close to the case, unless there's a market I'm missing. And I'm not saying you're the UFL expert here.
Does Oakland have a club? They probably outdraw.
So with that established, this fascinates the hell out of me. Mm-hmm. What's going on here?
Yeah.
It really does.
I think it's all a continuation of what we saw from the 2020, right before the pandemic, where...
Yeah, but it's still going on 4 years later. Well, and there's this interest. And you have, and this is not like, hey, I don't know, like before the Timberwolves went on and won, what, their first playoff series in 22 years, is that right?
Yeah.
Ant.
What up, Ant?
Like, if you're in Minnesota, I'm just trying to think of a random city with a bunch of sports teams with one that's kind of been dog crap.
Yeah.
Like, the Timberwolves are playing at the same time as the UFL team. Well, the Timberwolves aren't, you know, they're not the lifeblood of Minneapolis St. Paul.
Yeah.
The Cardinals are. And I'm sitting here on, you know, 101 ESPN in St. Louis, and damn near every vote, I still haven't seen a Cardinal one, for the record. And we're talking about a lot of texts, is for more people will be at a UFL game.
I mean, there is something to Battlehawks play once a week, Cardinals play.
But it's minor league football.
I mean, get that.
We've got to shoot it straight here. That's not intended to be a criticism. It's minor league football in a league that who knows how long it'll be around against the St. Louis Cardinals, not the Minnesota Timberwolves situation or, you know, Kansas City Royals or whatever other kind of, you know, background franchise. I mean, that says a lot about the Cardinals, and it says a lot about St. Louis and the Battlehawks. That's
right.
What I'm saying.
Right.
I got to dig into this, and it's already 10:20, so I got to take a break. I'm sure we'll continue to talk about it. This is Balloon Party, 101 ESPN.
We're right back to the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast, presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Welcome back, Balloon Party 101 ESPN. Tim McKernan, Jackson Burkett with you. The program is presented to you by Munganess, St. Louis Acura and Munganess Burkhardt, Alton Toyota, Timothy Michael McKernan, Jackson Burkett, taking your questions and your comments in the Air Comfort Service text line, and also a conversation that's focused on French fries in the YouTube chat, and I like that.
I love French fries.
What are your Mount Rushmore fries in St. Louis?
Cute boy. Max Local Eats has a really solid one.
Right there off of Oakland Avenue by the... Yeah.
I like Michael's. They have really good fries.
I heard they got different fries now, though.
Yeah,
I don't know.
They're real nice.
Somebody have the dish on that? We'll spill the tea.
I like Sportsman's...
Sportsman's Pete, you go steak fries?
Steak fries every day.
That's a great, great call.
Yeah, steak fries on those.
All of your choices are Central Corridor, I've noticed.
That's, you know, kind of where I grew up. Hate to break it to folks. Kind of eat where you, by where you live. And Max is in South City. Obie Clark's has good fries. Nice. I like Obie Clark's fries.
Okay. You stopped there to watch Stanley Cup playoff action?
I've gone there before and asked them to change it to NBA playoffs.
How'd that play?
They did not. They didn't accommodate.
They didn't acquiesce.
But the Blues weren't in it. Like, it wasn't like, I was just like, hey, there's... exclusively hockey on. It's a couple NBA games. Can I just get one of these televisions? Eventually they did.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. They were like, we can turn this one TV by your table over. I said, thank you.
There's a little black and white TV on like on the table.
Yeah, they brought one of those old portable ones and rolled it out like a substitute teacher.
Tim, how does the fan apathy today, I guess we're talking about the Cardinals, translate to the end of the AB ownership years? For comparison, the Blues and Brett Hull were a hot ticket versus what we have with City or the Battlehawks. That's from the 314. That's a nice question. I mean, you got to go back. You got to be a certain age to remember that. I was in high school at that time, and I remember saying something. We were sitting at lunch. I mean, I'm sure some people might be surprised that anybody was sitting next to me at lunch mm-hmm. in the cafeteria, and I understand that. But I think my dad paid kids to sit next to me.
It was nice.
And so those kids who were paid, you know, I was kind of like, yeah, the Cardinals play the Dodgers tonight. That's what I sounded like.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, Cardinals? Oh, the Blues are playing the Minnesota North Stars.
Right. The California Golden Seals.
I think the Golden Seals were playing that night. And it was like they made fun of me for talking about a Cardinal game. I know that sounds foreign.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But here we are on April 29th, 2024. And on the sports talk station in St. Louis, I did get one Cardinal vote, I should say. But we got a nonstop list of people saying the Battlehawks will have more attendance on Saturday than the Cardinals. And just kind of like, of course they will.
Yeah.
Like, well, I'm surprised you're even asking that. But I'm telling you this. In St. Louis, you may be like, well, of course they will. If you were to ask this question anywhere else, any other market in the United States, it would be 99% people would say Cardinals.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
100%.
So that's what I'm trying to drive home. That, yep, in St. Louis, this might become commonplace and expected knowledge, but around the country, this would be considered stunning.
Yeah. I think there's some people in UFL markets who are like, probably like, I was unaware that we had a team. I was unaware right, that we had, but if you go around here, people either have t-shirts on, they say they're going to the game, they're at the game, they're having fun tailgating for it. I think that's kind of a big part of it as well, is that it's kind of a more party-like atmosphere as compared to a Cardinal game, which is certainly a social gathering for many, but is not as high energy. And again, like, when you only have a game a week and you can wait 2 weeks for it, there's a lot more hype built into it. Let's play four or five games during the week.
I understand that. A handful of people sent that text in. But do you really, I mean, we're still, like, that does not explain, we're talking about minor league football.
Oh, for sure.
I'm not saying that to downplay the Battlehawks so much as to drive home. We're talking about one of the signature franchises in the history of the game of baseball, and I would say one of the signature franchises in professional sports over the last quarter century, losing out in attendance to a team from a league that may not be playing next year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's just like, there's so many different angles to that story. To me, there are. And maybe I'm talking about something and I'm the only person fascinated by it. And again, if they would have had 30,000 or even 25,000 in D.C. yesterday, or when they played in San Antonio a couple weeks ago, and you didn't go, wow, the Alamo Dome's empty, then you go, okay, this UFL thing's catching on.
Right.
Well, it is, but in one market, mm-hmm, just like the XFL thing caught on in one market.
Yeah.
This is so amazing to me. I feel like there's a lot of, what is the commentary? Is this a football commentary? Is it a, we hate the Cardinals current situation commentary? We don't care about the football. It's just a party at Battlehawks game commentary. You know,
yeah, I think it's a mixed bag of all that stuff.
You can always say it's a mixed bag. I understand, but there's got to be a leading factor on it, and that's what I'm trying to, like, this truly enamors me, because you just could not have seen this coming 5 years ago. You know,
yeah, definitely.
And it's so strange. Again, the league is not succeeding when market is succeeding, and the league was not succeeding before when market's succeeding, and it continues to, and yet it's the market that around the country, oh, they didn't support the Rams.
Right.
Well, look what's going on. There are more people for a UFL game.
Yeah.
Your thoughts are welcome. 314-399-9646 or the YouTube channel and the YouTube chat. You're welcome to participate in the conversation there as well. It's 10:32 in St. Louis. Time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers. This is Balloon Party on 101 ESPN.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
We're right back to the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast, presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Jackson, 140 people are in that YouTube chat and they're talking about it.
Hey, everybody.
Right to the people. They love you.
Hey, everybody.
How about Jamie Rivers talking about the association in that commercial break?
He's going to be held accountable.
You're going to hold him accountable?
Yeah, talking all that mess.
What about the Oilers?
They're a team. What's that series looking like?
They're up 3-1. They won 1-0. They can do it with offense.
Damn. 1-0.
I know. But what I'm saying, hey, they can win a game 1-0, and then they can beat you with, they'll score 25 goals on you.
Yeah, man, that's like a prime Bob Gibson start. 1-0.
Yeah, so beware the oil. And what do you say is the optimal Stanley Cup final?
Oilers and
Rangers.
Rangers, yeah.
Well, the Blue Shirts have already advanced, as you know.
That's all right. Check one box. Gary Bettman's happy. I can guarantee you.
I would actually agree with that take. Jackson, we are in the midst of this Little Pedals weekend wrap-up.
Yeah.
And I'm anxious to hear what you have for your next query.
I got a question here, and I think it's a good time to ask it because Steven Matz is on the bump tonight.
Okay.
Let me throw something out there and see how it smells.
All right.
We've seen now recently that Steven Matz is having issues as he gets later into ball games, and the Cardinals act gingerly with his leash as they don't want him suffering another injury. They also have a 22-year-old righty in AAA named Sam Roberce from the Netherlands. This guy is carrying a 1.8 ERA with a 0.9 whip through his five starts this year.
I know where you're going with this.
What if the Cardinals tried to piggyback start with Steven Matz and Roberce as a way to both supplement a Matz start to preserve him and his ability while also giving a young guy a chance? This can also help with some of the nerves of making a straight spot start for Roberce. Your thoughts?
All right, I'm asking this, and this is sincere. Is this a 100% Piddles idea, or did you read this from someone?
I haven't read. Had some conversations with folks around the Cardinals.
About the Cardinals.
I
was about to say.
Had some conversations, some family members, some friends. We've talked about it. I said they got some guys in the minors pitching pretty well. Tank Hentz is doing real well in Double A. He's going to make the move to Triple A probably this season. And you got this Roberce you got from Toronto. I think he would be a really great. You need one of these young pitchers to make their debut, to become prevalent, so you don't have to keep doing the rental of these mid-30s guys like Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson.
Well, my immediate reaction, that's why I asked if you read it somewhere, is the roster impact. If you have two guys for one game and then what that does. So there's that. Yeah. That's my immediate reaction to it. My real answer is if Matz has another bad start, and this would be three after a good start to the season, but this would be three straight, Oakland, Arizona, and tonight is Detroit, then I wonder what kind of strategy they would implement with him.
Yeah.
Because his next start will be against the White Sox. You can't get yourself in a spot. I mean, they're not going to say it publicly, but my belief, I don't know this, is the Cardinals are licking their chops for this week.
Yeah.
And you got to capitalize on this. You were talking about, even though somehow they're in the midst of a three-game winning streak now, they're still 6-22, historically bad baseball team. Got to capitalize on that because, hey, as we were talking about in a couple of weeks, you've got a stretch with the Red Sox who are playing some good baseball, which was not the expectation in Boston, at least relative to expectations, the Baltimore Orioles. And then what could be an important series with the Cubs, who lost in walk-off fashion last night. And there was that old Tyler O'Neill again.
Mm-hmm.
9 home runs for Tyler O'Neill as he's back in the lineup after the injury. So I don't think that they would do that. But I think if Matz gets lit up tonight, you could see a change.
Yeah. Is it the logic behind it for me is you get Matz the innings where he's most valuable, the early parts of the game. You get a young guy up there who doesn't have to be like, okay, we're handing you the ball first pitch of the game. It's on you now. And you were just in Memphis 2 days ago. Let him ease into it a little more. We've seen them blow through pitchers like Oviedo. You could even argue Liberatore and kind of rattle them early. I think this could be a decent opportunity. You don't burn the bullpen if things work out correctly. And maybe by next season, you'd have a guy at 23 years old who'd be ready to go as a starter and not have to go pay Gibson or Lynn for another season.
Yeah, no, I understand. Hey, I like
Tampa does it.
I like your creativity. Tampa absolutely does it. I like your creativity.
Thank you.
I think you're only 12 hours away from having an indication as to what direction they're going to go. Because if he gets raked tonight,
yeah,
I mean, that would mean he got beat up by the Oakland A's and the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Is one in the middle being the Diamondbacks.
He's not necessarily doing this against world beaters by any means.
Diamondbacks theoretically have an offense. They were, as of last week, leading the National League in runs. The Cardinals, on the other hand, last in the National League in runs. 100 runs so far on the season for the Cardinals. Jackson, what's your next question here on the Little Piddles weekend wrap-up? Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Little Piddles weekend wrap-up.
Ben Fred wrote a new column in STL Today talking about the Blues coaching search. In the article, he candidly floats that he wouldn't mind seeing Craig Berube's name on that list and doesn't think it would be met poorly by the fan base. Double negative, my apologies.
I follow you. Fans would like it.
Yes.
Nice.
What do you think about the idea? Do you think fans would react positively? Analyze that from the Blues and Berube's standpoint. And there's a little piece in the column I really liked. When you fire the only head coach who led you to a Stanley Cup championship in order to try to catch a new coach bump that produces a playoff appearance, and that playoff appearance doesn't materialize, and other teams are apparently quite interested in the coach you fired, maybe that's a sign things should have gone down differently. From Ben Fred.
I certainly wonder about that. The thing is, I think up until Ali Marmol's extension, it was one of the most hated moves that I can recall in recent memory by a Cardinal or Blues organization front office.
Yeah.
Again, I know the Marmol one was like, I mean, that just like floored people. You had like calm people losing their minds over that.
Yeah.
The Berube one was unpopular, but I don't think it was nearly as surprising as the Marmol extension.
Yep. Yeah, shell firing is surprising, but I wouldn't say people were.
It was absolutely surprising.
Yeah, definitely.
I guess what I was saying is, since I didn't say it, so understandable why you wouldn't include it, since we started doing Balloon Party.
Got it, okay.
So, yes, I can recall the shield firing. I was on that Zoom call, and I remember going, oh my God, what is this?
I was at the Quick Trip, and I saw a Jeff Passan tweet notification. I was like, what? I thought it was a joke Passan account.
That was out of nowhere. And I'll tell you what, Mike Shield, he gets the why were you fired and you were fired by John Mozeliak bump. I mean, he's been turned into Joe Torre with the Yankees. I mean, listen, he wasn't bad, but it's not like that was like...
Yeah, he went to one playoff game and they lost.
The second coming. No, he went to the NLCS.
Oh, yeah, my bad. The most recent playoff series.
Yeah, the 2021.
My apologies. Mike Shield.
So with that established, I don't see it. And part of my reasoning is Berube and not the Blues, even though you might think the other way around. I think he can go to a team that's a hell of a lot closer winning a Stanley Cup as opposed to kind of still having to, play transition guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think he will. Hey, listen, we talked a couple months ago. I was kind of hopeful that the Bruins would lose, even though Patty Maroon's there and whatever. I have nothing against the Bruins. It was more about Jim Montgomery. But the Bruins are a win away from advancing past the Leafs. I would imagine, I mean, but the Royal you may have seen the Leafs going after each other on the bench as they fell. But you did see that. Wow.
Mitch Marner. Headline in the Athletic saying like, what has happened to the Maple Leafs?
Well, yeah, they're screaming at each other on the bench.
Yeah.
That thing, I always felt like if those two, and the Bruins should have gotten the one seed, but they didn't, they blew it. Panthers did. Panthers are on the verge of eliminating the Lightning. They're up 3-1 in that series. That whoever loses the Bruins or Leafs series, that coach is going to be available.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that job that they will get whacked by is going to be available.
Right, domino effect.
And therefore, if you're Craig Berube, wouldn't you rather be coaching the Leafs or Bruins? Now, I'm not saying that the Leafs immediately say, okay, Sheldon Keefe, you're out, Craig Berube, you're in. I'm just saying that I think he is going to have interest from a variety of places that are a lot closer to a chalice than what the situation is here in St. Louis.
Yeah.
So I like your Steve and Matt's creativity. I like Ben Fredrickson's outside the box thoughts on Craig Berube. I just don't think that I think from more of a Berube standpoint, I'd be like, oh, I can go somewhere else. I don't think I'll do that.
Yeah. And the point you made, I think, is the overarching reason why he would probably be a little hesitant to do so. And then also maybe even subconsciously, you're not necessarily looking to get back in bed with the person who fired you just a few months ago when seemingly you had done kind of what the preseason expectations to that point were. And so maybe, you can still love St. Louis and the organization, the time you had here, but maybe, hey, we close the book on that one. I'm going to move on to the next chapter of my life.
The players quit on Berube. Bringing him back does not improve anything. That's from the 314. Why the hell they let Quintana go?
I was figuring that was going to come after he dealt pretty well yesterday.
I remember that. It literally happened, I think, within the same hour of the Wilson Contreras signing.
Yeah, it was nice.
And so, from a timing standpoint, you had this loss of a guy who, by the way, hasn't been great with New York.
Year.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's had two good starts. One was yesterday, and the other starts haven't been great with the Mets this year. But with that said, because of the Contreras news, I mean, I think it all happened while we were on the air, right around the time Balloon Party started. That was where the attention was, understandably so. But Quintana, very fair Yeah. Very fair question, even though it
certainly
was a bit of a non sequitur in the text inbox, minus the fact that he did have the ball and dealt yesterday for the Mets.
All they have is, all the Cardinals have is lefties. Like, it's just lefty after lefty after lefty. Like, I know Quintana's a lefty, and I was like, that's another thing with Robert's. And I, if I'm butchering his name, I'm sorry. I love the Netherlands.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I love the people. Love the Dutch people. Love the Netherlands.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
wow.
I do. I do.
It's a message of unity here.
Seems like great. Iron Robin. What a player he was. But he's 22 and he's a righty. Like, they need some help righty. Kind of like last time with Mats and Diamondbacks, you had Zach Thompson come in, and Ollie Marl said, boy, they hammer lefties. Zach Thompson, a lefty. A guy for longer relief who's a righty would be really nice right about now.
I understand the Quintana observation. That was one that in the moment I thought, but it, again, it from a mindset standpoint of a fan base, if you have that, and I guess Sonny Gray. I don't know. I mean, dollars wise, Contreras a bigger commitment.
Yeah.
I don't know what do you think got the bigger pop, Sonny Gray or Contreras, when it happened?
Contreras.
In the moment,
Contreras.
Contreras as well.
Yeah,
okay.
Because you're replacing Yadi.
So you're talking about one of the biggest signings in the last 5 years for the Cardinals, and it happened at B right when Quintana, I think, signed like right before that with the Mets, if memory serves. All right, we got to go. How about this text? Trade Kyrou, bring back Berube. What kind of approval rating would that have in St. Louis? Some would love it, some would hate it.
In the 70% approval, I would say.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And then 29% disapproval, and then 1% is me, indifferent on the whole thing.
You'd be indifferent. You'd come in that next morning after that all took place and say, you know what, I don't really have an opinion. But how about the Mavericks and the Clippers?
Since they hoisted the chalice, the Blues have not done something for me that has like moved me emotionally.
They were the best team in a National Hockey League when the league shut down.
I know. I feel terrible for them because that is probably a team that can make another run.
They were about to eliminate the eventual Stanley Cup champions before Kadri ran Bennington.
I know. And it just didn't do a damn thing to me.
I
thought this was honesty in media.
It is. I actually am a little surprised by that.
It doesn't. There's only like three teams in all of sports that move me emotionally. Missouri football, Missouri basketball, St. Louis Cardinals.
Wow.
That's it. Everything else I can root for and enjoy, but not move me emotionally.
Root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. You ever heard that?
I say it to myself before bed. It's like a Hail Mary.
Dan Jansen's active. I guess, Dan Jansen, you were sideways with him about buildings?
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know. Something's going on in the YouTube chat with Dan Jansen. I don't know. So check it out. The YouTube chat's active as all get out. I don't know. I get that, Dan Jansen, but I fear you're in the minority. So I don't know.
I like that. It's like the back end of a conversation. I love that.
I didn't know if he was talking about you because you didn't like that he brought up the building
size. Stadium sizes have no difference. Yeah, of course. Your high school stadium could fit as many as, you know, Arrowhead.
Do you want to get in the squared circle with Dan Jansen? Just say yes.
I've never fought a man in my life, and I'm not starting with someone I don't know.
I thought you and Rivers would.
I keep asking him to drop the gloves.
He's going to walk in here someday, and all hell is going to break loose. Let's see what we got. All right, we got a break. That's what we got. 10:52. This is Balloon Party.
We're right back to the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast, presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Welcome back, Balloon Party 101 ESPN. Jackson, quick hitter here. I know you want to talk uniforms. Let's talk uniforms.
Yes. Major League Baseball PA.
Yeah, Jeff Passan of ESPN obtaining a memo from the MLBPA. I wonder how he got it, I ask aloud. In which the MLBPA condemns, not necessarily fanatics, if anything, MLBPA absolving fanatics, which had gotten the hell for these uniforms this year, but rather focusing on Nike.
Yeah.
And you go, well, why'd Nike do this? Nike signed a $1 billion deal with Major League Baseball, and that is why Major League Baseball allowed them to create these uniforms that, I'm telling you, I think I've apologized now twice. I'm going to make it a third time, because I came back from a trip with my wife and some friends for her birthday back in February, and like the first question on the Little Piddles Monday shoot
match.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Was about the uniforms, and I'm just kind of like, the Cardinals are wearing red hats. They look like a softball team from 87. Missouri, God only knows what they're going to wear in football games. I'm at peace with the fact that the uniforms, for the most part, are off the rails now, because they're going to make as much money they can from a new revenue stream. But damn it, Jackson, if I wasn't wrong, what you were observing was right on. there's so many things that bother me, but the one that's so basic that I just don't understand how it happened was the lettering on the back of the jerseys being smaller. And here's the thing. In order for a change of this magnitude to take place, so many people and so many departments have to sign off on it. So Major League Baseball and the Players Association can throw Nike under the bus, and maybe the Players Association was condemning it from the get-go. I don't know. All I know is that this had been rolled out in 2022. It was actually displayed at the 2023 All-Star Game.
That's right.
And somehow it actually came into play. Now, the MLBPA in that memo that Jeff Passan published said they've been complaining to Nike, and Nike's just kind of been like, tough, deal with it.
Right.
But now the uniforms will go back to what they were at the latest for the start of the 2025 season. And that is a nice little win. Oh, that makes me so happy. Because I got to tell you, I look at those and I just go, God. And I just get the Navy caps.
Yeah. That'd be the cherry on top.
The Navy caps.
That'd be the cherry on top. But yeah, get the number, the names on the back right, because that's embarrassing. It's embarrassing what they're doing with the uniforms this year.
From the 314, the jerseys look like the cheap knockoff version you'd get at Walmart. Yeah, that's from the 314, and I think it's quite accurate.
From a fan standpoint, I could tolerate it if just the names were bigger on the back. I could tolerate the mismatching colors on gray, the see-through pant, the weak material. I could deal with all that if you just got the numbers and names right.
Tim, there's a small line in the ESPN article that mentions that they have a small stake in Fanatics. It needs to be much higher up in the article. I like that. That's good deducing there. All right, we got to go. It's 11 o'clock, so that's it. That's going to wrap it up, Jackson. BK and Ferrario are next for Jackson Burkett. I'm Tim McKernan. This has been Balloon Party, driven by Munganess. St. Louis Acura, Munganess, Burkhardt, Alton, Toyota on 101 ESPN.
You've been listening to The Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.